special meeting of the Health, Human Services, and Housing Committee to order. It's October 30th, and it is 2:40 p.m. Could you call roll, please?
Yes. Legislator Nushno is not here.
Legislator Lopez is not here. Legislator Collins is not here. Legislator Corcoran?
Yes.
Legislator Harmon is not here. Legislator Kitchen is not here. Legislator McCullough?
Here.
Legislator Criswell?
Here.
We do not have quorum, but...
We do, or...
We do not, of course. But we can.
But we're not voting. So we're just here at the moment. So if you're not voting, so we will make sure that our fellow legislators know that.
All right. We are going to start with Office for the Aging, Susan. And I see we have a list of questions. So let me start with all of you. I'm going to just give the sort of list of four questions. You can respond, and then I'll give you a chance to sort of do your overview if you have anything you want to highlight. So did you make any requests that were not included in the proposed budget or capital program?
Well, we did discuss a part-time position, volunteer coordinator that we were able to fund, but I can't get into ClearGov, and I do believe we couldn't put it in because it was a part-time position. We discussed it in our budget meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I think I wrote a memo that we're talking like 3 months ago, so.
Okay. I'm going to rely on Amber a bunch here, too.
We had a budget meeting with Ken and Joanna, and no, I talked about it, but I can't get in ClearGov, and we couldn't put it in because it was part-time.
Okay.
It had to go through personnel, so I don't know what happened to it.
So we'll track down and we'll see if that's in the actual budget or if not, then we can have a conversation about
that. It was a 10-hour. It was a 10-hour a week thing.
Okay, got it. All right. Was there any other requests that were not included in the post budget? Okay, great. Are there any new programs, projects, or initiatives planned for 2025 that you want to tell us about?
Well, we are currently... It's not part of the budget per se, but we've come up with a respite program in our hub for older adults who need, their caregivers need a break, and really a much needed service in the county. There's a couple of other programs here and there, but this is taking place in our hub one day a week, staffed mostly with volunteers and our caregiver training / caregiver program consultant we have with Jewish Family Services, and they're the program manager. It's going well. We have 5 or 6 people in there right now, and we have a 5-hour program for them, just started, and we hope that that grows, and we are going to be able to replicate it to other places in the county, not funded through us, but giving them the structure and allowing them to start other programs. So there's a few of them that people can go to.
I'm glad to hear that because we've been getting that message a lot recently about expanding our programs, making sure that Kingston is not the only place that's getting service, so that, you know, we've got folks in all over the county who need this. And this is really an important service, so I appreciate this. How are you advertising?
We didn't advertise it at first because we wanted to make sure that the folks who had originally sort of said, I'm really needing this, could have a first crack at it. Not everybody's going to be eligible.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain things that people need to be able to do for themselves in a program like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't have like nursing home level folks,
sure,
right? But with the amount of volunteers that we have, we're very much able to keep up with the folks' needs. We can separate them if they need to be separated through anxiety or whatever the issue is. And so far, it's going well. I've mentioned it in our newsletter several times. We now have this is a new thing. We added a caregiver coordinator case manager position. So his responsibility is to get inquiries about respite and caregiver programs, which NYSOFA very much wants us to grow, and steer them to where it might be appropriate for them to go, and respite was one of them. So we thought maybe we should have our own program to be able to steer them.
Good. Looking forward to hearing more about that. Are there any programs that you're doing that are being eliminated?
Yes. The county executive's office defunded our full-time reception position.
And was that a conversation you had, or?
No, I have had one since that happened, yes.
Okay. Is that something that you're looking to get back?
I would
back?
Like to have a conversation about that, yes.
Okay, we'll just make a note of that. All right. Do you feel that the proposed 2025 budget for your department is right-sized, including staffing, for your needs and your workload?
Besides the reception position,
mm-hmm.
yes.
Okay.
I think that the needs of the older adults in the county, just as a general note, it's going to grow. The baby boomers are aging out. We're getting a lot of calls. We're all, I think, deluged with requests for assistance, a lot more than we have been in the last couple of years. I think it's been pretty noticeable.
Got it. All right, but for 2025, except for the reception position, you're feeling okay about that?
I think we're okay with everything else.
Okay, great. Free couple minutes to just tell us anything else you think we need to hear.
The department's really cohesive. Everybody's kind of full to bursting with their own tasks. We don't really have the bandwidth to absorb the many, many tasks that the receptionist did. But we have someone right now who's a temp for 3 days a week trying to cover it for us. And we get a lot of people when we go out publicly and we talk about what we do. I think it spurs people on to call us, say, gee, I think I know someone who could use this, or someone, maybe I need it, or I think I might need this in the future. Let me find out. So I think our outreach has really helped, although it's increased the calls tremendously. That's a good thing. And people are getting the idea of what we do and the breadth and the scope of what we do.
Great.
And I think that's important. We have more and more people signing up for our mailing list. We have more and more people getting our buzz. We have more and more people calling. It's been very good.
Excellent. Great. Committee members, questions?
So,
Legislator McCullough?
I'm concerned about the reception position. If you're able to get that, how much more do you think that would add to your budget, roughly?
Part-time? I'm sorry?
Is it full-time?
It's a full-time position. Okay. It needs to be. Okay. Yeah.
We can get you what that range would be. Okay. Correct. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes, we'll get that directly to you.
Mm-hmm. We do have the funding for it, though.
Okay. Good.
We're very well funded through the New York State Office for Aging as opposed to many of the other departments here.
Would you like to chime in on this at all?
Yes. So, as I'm sure you saw in the proposed budget, we have an Office of General Services that we're creating, and the idea behind it is to try to bring some shared back office efficiencies to the departments, especially the smaller departments, because we have like 23 different departments. It's a lot, and there's administrative tasks that could potentially be centralized. And so what we had talked about is some of the smaller departments, their support staff compared to the overall staff of the team is large in proportion to some of the bigger departments. So that's what we are trying to do in this budget, is to, you know, think about those efficiencies, if there's ways that we can do things better. And what we had proposed was to have our team, who's in charge of setting up the OGS, come speak to the department, learn about their workloads, and see which of those admin tasks can be shifted over to OGS to free up some of the workloads.
Good. Thank you for letting us know about that. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate
thank you.
Time today. All right. Moving on to Veteran Services, Director Pizzoli. Welcome. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm going to ask you the same questions. Let's see. Did you make any requests that were not included in the proposed budget or capital program?
So yes, we identified one program that we wanted to consider putting in the budget. It's kind of unique because we found that there was a gap in services for caregivers of veterans.
Mm-hmm.
When this goes through,
didn't we just hear this similar kind of
somewhat? Yeah,
that's interesting.
The interesting thing with the veteran portion is there's a lot of services that are out there for families of veterans, but it only comes to fruition a lot of times is when the veteran is the one who initiates it. And then sometimes if they're not, then those families and the caregivers are not receiving certain support programs that could be beneficial to them. It's very difficult a lot of times to care for veterans, especially those that are suffering with different issues that come with going to war. What is a little unique with it, though, is it would be funded under the Department of Mental Health, but it would be a program that would, you know, work very closely with my office. You know, in the meantime, we've done a lot of research. We found a couple of, there are some programs out there that can help fill that gap for us. They're not local. It's more a telehealth type, but NYU Langone has family services down for veterans, specifically families of veterans, and not just active military. They expanded it to veterans, and they recently expanded it to Ulster County.
Got it.
So we're happy about that.
And let me ask, was this a specific position? Like, how was the program conceived?
Contract. It's in the contract line for now until we figure out what exactly it's.
Okay, got it. Any committee members have any questions about that specific? Okay, great. Are there any new programs or projects or initiatives planned for 2025 you want us to know about? Okay. Is there anything that's being eliminated?
No, sir.
Okay. This is the, all right. Okay. So I'm understanding that 50% of that is in a contract line and 50% would be considered part-time pay. Is that correct?
That's not, yes, if that's what it
is,
then yes.
Okay. All right. Just so everybody's clear on that. Mm-hmm. All right. Great. Do you feel that the proposed 2025 budget is right size for your department, including staffing and the needs and workloads?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Great. And welcome. Chair Initiative.
Sorry.
No worries. Nice.
I thought I had some meetings to be at 3 o'clock, but it was my error. I'm sorry about that.
No worries. Let me just finish up with Director Cosopoli, and then I'll turn it all over to you. All right. Actually, I'm at the end of my questions. I just wanted to give you a little bit of free time if you had anything else you wanted to say or any questions from the committee about this budget.
Any questions first? As usual, I appreciate all the support I get from the legislators. There's a lot going on with Veteran Services. You know, the last 5 years since I've been in place, we've expanded our community outreach significantly. Hopefully your constituents are seeing that. We get out there, we put the word out who we are, what we do, how we can help veterans and their families. Very proud to do so. It's an honorable work, and it's open again. I'll let everybody know. I'd love for you to come and do what we call a mission brief. I'd love to walk you through all the different programs we have for our veterans so you can see just what, you know, how far my staff and I are going to make sure that they and their families are very well taken care of.
Thank you. We appreciate the work you do. Thank you very much. All right. Chair, you should tell us all yours.
Thank you, Chair. So the same series of questions from every chair. Is there anything that was not included in the budget or the capital program that you would have liked to include? You'd already provided an answer to that, but I'll give you an opportunity. Just, I don't know, were these answers provided to everybody?
Yeah, if you did, yeah. But if you have any questions on that, Bill?
No, I don't think so. I mean, that's pretty straightforward. Does anyone have any follow-up on that? And then do you want to speak quickly about the new program, the program with mental health?
Yeah, I did touch on it before you got here.
Okay, then. Great, I'm sorry.
I think we're good, actually. Yeah. Can move on to Youth Bureau.
Yep, that's fine.
Yep.
Great, thank you. Thank you. again, I'll ask the same question. Is there anything that, first of all, I'll ask if there are any new programs that you'd like to share with us in terms of the 2025 budget.
So there's a new program for the Kingston Mental Initiative. That's what we're calling it now. We're working on an actual name for it. So we're not calling it that, but it's to target homeless youth in the county, not just the one place of Kingston Motel, but we're trying to integrate others in other places. So we are doing this programming, recreational, tutoring, mental health, and things like that to provide them with additional support.
Is there anything that you recommended that was not included in the budget that you would? Okay. Does anyone have any questions? fairly straightforward.
Okay.
You know, we're looking out for it.
I didn't hear the question. Anything eliminated?
Oh, I don't. Was there anything that was eliminated?
No. Yeah. It was small department this year.
Okay. Answer. Next, we have the health department. Director Walter. Can you speak first to any of the new programs or the budget? I know that we have one program around the lead rental bike street.
Yeah, so it's a state program. We haven't gotten the contract sorted and the money seen, but so the state is trying to be more proactive in enforcement of lead in rental properties, any place that has more than two units. And they did a basic analysis of the different counties and the different municipalities within the counties that might have properties that were built before 1980 that would potentially put them at risk, and then kind of figured out how much money would go to the county based on that. So I don't have the exact number of units that they're estimating for us. The bulk of them are in Kingston. There's a little bit outside. So we are working with the City of Kingston on a partnership plan on the best approach. Again, since we haven't had a contract yet, there may be some things that will change as that gets sorted, but basically the idea is working with Kingston starting in 2025. The first step is inspecting these properties. They do different kinds. They do a wipe test if the paint is sort of solid and fine, or they do a more significant test if there's paint chipping. And then that part is not the easy part, but easier part. The harder part is then any place that has lead, it's telling these landlords that they have to do remediation and then going back and doing inspections and ensuring these remediations are done. So I don't know if the state is really providing enough money to do this to the fullest level it needs to, so we'll just have to just do the very best we can. So you'll see on the 2025 budget for our side on the county DOH, I think it's three positions that help in going out and doing the inspections and the enforcement, as well as a tech assistant to keep track of the records, because there's potentially lots of units. Again, we also don't know, I don't think we have the answer yet, like how many of these units are in one building versus in different buildings, but we'll be meeting with the City of Kingston pretty soon to sort of iron things out on this.
I have a question. Is this connected at all with the recent grant that Leading on Lead? Is that what it's called? Leading?
Is that the title?
I think that was
the remediation.
Yeah. I only noticed the remediation.
It was the one that went through planning.
There's the rental registry grant, which is the formula grant from the state, and then there's the leading and lead remediation grant to actually do the remediation in the homes. It's not a huge amount of money, so we'll only be able to do like several, a handful of projects, but it's a start, and it's funding that has never been available before. So,
and that's homeowners. As opposed to landlords.
Got it. Yep. Okay. Thank you. So they are getting the office staff they needed also, that one position for office staff?
For this project?
Well, just in general into the health department.
So not sure. This project, we're getting the people that we asked for. If it's something else you're talking about, I'm not sure. Are you talking about
the records clerk? So as part of this new initiative, we added a clerk, a database clerk, and that person will help with those things as well.
Okay.
Yeah. And we've confirmed that really will solve
at least for 2025.
Okay.
I think because this project's going to take a while to ramp up, I promise you that if this ramps up and then it's taking more of that person's time and we're still going to need another records clerk, we'll absolutely in 2026 be requesting it, but we feel comfortable that 2025 is covered.
Okay. And the car situation is good right now?
As far as I know.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, actually this year we received 4 new cars.
Okay. We'll make sure to be able to do their job. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
Is there anything that you recommended that's not included in the budget?
Yeah, so there was one health promotion education initiative, a heart healthy initiative that was presented. It did not come with any kind of specific grant funding, so we understood why it would be challenging. It would be an added cost to the county at this point, plus a part-time health ed outreach. So, you know, this to me, health education and promotion is absolutely an area that there's grant funding for. And so it's our hope that we will go out and find the funding to help do these kinds of initiatives, the Heart Healthy and any other kinds of initiatives we want to do. I mean, if that's the one place where I know that we can find grant funding for. As far as a health outreach person, I'm new, as you all know. I think that I'm working with the health ed promotion communication team to have a really clear plan of how we can be as many places in the county as possible to get the most impact. And so we're really mapping out the types of events and activities that exist across the county to make sure we have real coverage. And then we really need to do that work to understand what other staffing would be needed. So it's just too premature to know what we need until we figure out what we're going to do for 2025. So we're good with it. We're okay with it. We understand.
Two quick questions. One is, I know that you have a big background in grants, and I just wondered if there's anything that you saw in your current budget that you thought, oh, there's grant money already possible for that.
Yeah, no. I mean, you know, a lot of these things, besides the thing that is the lead remediation, there's not currently. I'm regularly looking at what is out there.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, as I said, the grants that I've seen have more been initiatives, health promotion initiatives, like chronic disease promotion initiatives, or ways to have more green streets and healthier parks. And so those are the ones that are kind of go above and beyond sort of state mandated that Department of Health deliverables. So I think it gives us an opportunity to grow. Obviously, if I see something that would meet the kind of services we're doing, or make them stronger and better, you know, 100% will.
Great. And then my second question had to do with language accessibility. How do you feel like, I mean, I know you're new, but how do you feel like your department's doing so far in language accessibility, and do we need to do better?
What are language?
I don't want to speak, but we do contract with the LingualLinks, which allows us to have different languages transcribed, whether it's print, verbal, and all departments have access to that in those divisions.
That's a good point, though. I would like to find out sort of what
about, you know.
Yeah.
Spanish people, speaking Spanish people in our work program.
Right. And our material is in English and Spanish.
Thank you.
But it's an interesting question, because this county has other languages, for sure.
Yep. There's one line for patient services where if there was a significant drop-off from 24 to 25 from, like, $388,000 for, I believe this is AccuCare contractual staff grant deliverables, emergency preparedness, COVID month plus. What's the reason for that drop-off?
So historically, what those two amounts totaling the $300,000, I always start off whenever I do a budget presentation at the health department. Our budget is basically reactive, depending on what the outside forces are. It determines what we're going to be making our spend.
Historically, we've had some issues with staffing in our patient services division. All of our services are mandated or contractually obligated to perform. They will come with deliverables in the event if we didn't have the personnel. We couldn't say, well, we just won't do it. We would have to bring in contractual nurses or contractual staff to fulfill the obligations that we had. So that was sort of a just-in-case amount, the 150. The other part of that, the second part of that, was sort of, I don't want to say an emergency fund, but what COVID has taught us is being prepared if something was to happen. Again, you can only budget so much and be prepared so much, but that was an account if something came up that we needed to address, like monkeypox, we thought was going to be something. The Triple E was something. That would be an account that would start the funding, whether it be supplies or whatever was needed. After conversations with the executive department, they assured that if there was something that we needed, we could just go out and do a budget adjustment, and to budget for that, not knowing, was sort of premature. So that's what the major cutback on that was.
I'd also add, and, you know, those of you who were legislators during COVID probably remember the Department of Health had a really tough time getting nurses during COVID and needed to contract out. Now I'm really happy to say that we are building a solid team of nurses in-house so that we're less reliant on the contracting. We just hired one last week, and we have another one coming in a week or so, nurse manager.
Any other questions on health? Do you feel your budget is in the right place largely for the tasks in front of you?
I do. I just want to put out there, just in case it ever comes up in a conversation where we're not present, that recognizing that it is very hard to staff in public health. It's a challenge, right? We had a lot of burnout with COVID, and there are positions we very much still need to fill. And so I just want to put that out there, that if you notice a position and feel like, well, wait a minute, they haven't even filled this in a year or 6 months, maybe they don't need it. I'm telling you now, we do. And so, you know, and we're actively working on that, and not to see an unfilled, a vacant position as a position unnecessary.
And they could be mandated positions as well that we just haven't been able to fill, not even need mandated.
Yeah. Otherwise, we're all good.
Cool. Anyone have anything else on the Department of Health? All right. Thank you, Dr.
Walton. I just want to say one more thing.
Sure.
I didn't get to, like, any other thing. So, you know, I want to say something that's really kind of interesting and exciting. So, I mean, every day, Department of Health, I've only been there a week and a half. Every day is pretty crazy and exciting. But so Mountain Jams decided to leave Orange County and come to Ulster County, which is a really intriguing, because to have an event to this level is an example of having to bring together so many departments. And, you know, we talk about this idea of departments working together. So we met with Everett's team in emergency services, but this is also the Plattekill municipality and that supervisor and the state, and probably will need mental health. Like, it's just an interesting idea, especially in a place with Ulster County that does have festivals and those kinds of things. Like, it's amazing and wonderful to see how, and it'll be a lot of work, but that these kinds of things are these examples of when everyone almost has to come together and work together in order to have the success. So that was an exciting meeting this morning. It's going to be a lot until this event happens. It's going to be a big event in Bel Air, and it's just sort of an interesting opportunity to see how county works well.
Cool. We all get free tickets?
Right. I told them, I'm like, we have to do a good job because I'm sure half my kids will go. And I want to make sure they're safe. And yes, you do if you work. So if you want us to stick you in the Department of Health van.
I think one more job on my preparation.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Your final
answers.
No, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. Commissioner McDonald, you're up next.
Yes. Why don't we start with any new program projects, initiatives that are in the 2025 budget that you'd like to highlight?
Nothing new. Our last, this budget season was pretty quiet as opposed to the last three budget seasons. So nothing new. And I'll talk about why nothing new when we give an overview of the departments.
Sure. Anything that's been eliminated?
Nothing eliminated.
Was there anything we requested that you did not, that wasn't included in the budget?
No.
Any questions from the committee to start out?
Yeah, go ahead. Which one do you call it?
At one of our meetings, a gentleman came and spoke about a program. That program was already existed, right?
That's cool.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. You're talking about the mental health with youth in schools?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a question about, I think it's more of an accounting question. You might not have the answer, maybe you do. But the opioid settlement money, there's like an accounting for it in the 23 budget, and then it rolls straight over to the 25 budget. And I think our staff were concerned that it's being double counted.
No, this was unset funds.
Okay.
So there were plans in 23, maybe some of them, you know, took a while to get started. And same thing. So whatever was unset, that rolled over to 25.
Right. Okay. Is that from our staff? Amber, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure. Another question. There's a $1.1 million line item around Mental Health Action Plan that is listed as ARPA. We don't have an ARPA, like a corresponding ARPA program that's been authorized by the legislature, so I just wanted to ask about that.
I did see resolutions for that. I saw it said resolution for the fund, 179, 180, 181.
Yeah, it's combined. It wasn't one resolution for 1.1. It was an allocation of ARPA for several different projects.
Okay. Because it's not.
Is this the?
If I may,
go ahead. Yeah, I'm riffing here. I'm not 100% sure, but is this the money that went into the Crisis Stabilization Center plus the respite houses?
So the security, if I'm correct, right, Lucinda, the security for the Crisis Support Center.
Right.
It was the
children's
clinic.
Right.
And there was one more.
Behavioral health needs assessment.
There it is.
Right. Okay. That's what it was. Right.
So they're all under one.
Yeah. I remember what we did was we took the money that was originally allocated for respite houses and we said that there was actually a stronger need right now.
Okay.
Let's do these other programs and put the respite
houses. Does this number match the amount that the respite house line item
Correct.
Went down?
Correct.
Okay. Got it. That makes sense. Anyone else have anything? There's a large, there's a disparity between the department request for professional services and then what was actually included in that, and then it's increased between the request and what was included, about $100,000.
Is that the 261?
Yeah, exactly.
That was to help to pay for the security beyond the ARPA house.
Yeah. Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Can I make one note? I heard you refer to it as the Crisis Support Center.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that actually. I think it's getting kind of a new branding rather than Crisis Stabilization Center, Crisis Support Center. It sounds more holistic to me. I like that.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
We're trying to use it more.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Anyone have anything else? Anything you think we should know? Do you feel your budget is in a good place for the talent at hand?
I feel the budget is in a good place. Just sort of letting the legislature know, or at least our standing committee, that the State Office of Mental Health identified Ulster County as a county that has a higher rate of individuals with behavioral health issues that are in the criminal justice system. So there's a higher rate of folks in our county that are being arrested and they have a serious mental illness or folks with substance use disorder. Because of that, they're giving us two positions to be able to address that. It's a court navigation program, and our proposal includes using a licensed mental health clinician and pairing them up with a peer to be able to work with these individuals in the courts. They are funded, but they will be at least, we're trying to be creative, but I have to echo what Dr. Walter said in terms of the facility vacancies in our budget. It's not because they're not needed, it's because we're having a really difficult time recruiting clinical staff. So we're trying to be creative, and we think that we're going to use one of our vacancies to help support that position in addition to state funding, and then we'll have an additional position for a peer specialist. All of this is what we've been told by the state. We don't know anything until it comes down through the state aid letter, so we're waiting for that. But there may be an amendment for an additional staff member at the department. But just know, it's state funded.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Good.
And I think we're up to social services, but I don't see Mike here.
I'm not sure if there was a miscommunication. I did try to reach out. I haven't heard back yet.
Okay.
So I'm not exactly sure what's happening. I'm cry, but I'm not prepared. Yeah, I can try calling you.
Yeah, let's go into a 5-minute recess. Let's do that.
All right, so we can call the meeting back to order. The recess is over. That's not really to this. And now we are on to the Department of Social Services. Commissioner Iacocci, would you like to share just a quick synopsis of any new programs or any programs that have been cut for 2025?
Sure. New programming off the top of my head, I don't think that there's anything that is in that specific category. We have some programming that we anticipate seeing increases in expenditures for, and we have arrived at preparing some information about those. And in terms of programs that have been eliminated, do you think of anything that we're discontinuing dealing with? Okay. And this is Elizabeth Provenzano, who is our fiscal director. And I would like to at least preface our remarks with the fact that, I mean, traditionally, the DSS budget is nearly one-third of the county budget. So that I want to give recognition to Liz for the enormous responsibility that our fiscal director has in terms of preparing the proposed budget every year. It's an enormous portion when you, match it up against all the rest of the departments throughout the county. And there's a lot involved with making the recommendations that we do and tracking the programming and tracking the expenses so that we can arrive at recommendations that we think are going to be consistent with our programmatic expenditures. So I really like to at least acknowledge Liz and the work she does, and that's why she's here this afternoon also to speak to some of that. So I'll basically go through what our budget requests are in terms of areas where we're anticipating increases. And we are requesting a $3,420,000 increase in family assistance services. And under that is 10 temporary assistance, which is increases in families applying and eligibility requirements around emergency housing costs, which continue to rise. And we do expect to continue to see the same or similar numbers in terms of our emergency housing population for calendar year 2025. And as much as there's numerous permanent and supportive housing projects in the pipeline, the likelihood that there's going to be any available inventory in 2025 is not likely at this point, even though projects are underway. And we've been experiencing an emergency housing population that has been between 425 and 500 unique individuals and about 220 cases. It has stabilized this year after having gone up significantly in 2023 and this year. So, that's why we're requesting that amount. We're looking at about $1.5 million in personnel services. This is in connection with our personnel budget, and that's arrived at partially in contractual separation pay of several employees with a multitude of accruals. We plan to retire in 2025, so we have to pay out for accrued time. We also have about $500,000 in contractually obligated step increases, longevity increases, and increases to overtime pay lines. We're also contemplating about $800,000 local share portion for some positions that we had requested. Now, this was in our proposal, and what ended up being arrived at is going to be a little bit less than that, so it would probably be more around $200,000 that would result in. And Liz feel free to jump in if I'm not keeping track of everything accurately. We're looking at a $1,396,000 increase in the preschool early intervention services. This includes transportation services, administrative costs to districts. Rates are anticipated to rise during 2025 as a new contract period begins for preschool transportation services. Under early intervention services, this includes the technology, the transportation, and rates include a 12% increase from March 2023 to March 2024. Rates were anticipated to continue to rise during 2025. And these are rates that we don't exert any kind of local control over. These are rates that are set by the state for early intervention and preschool services. So we basically have to comply with paying these amounts for the services that are provided. And the early intervention and preschool population is a population that, again, we don't have the ability to disqualify or deem anybody ineligible for these services. It's arrived at based on the healthcare services that that population is receiving, and when their physicians determine that they are diagnosed with an early intervention or preschool condition that requires services, we're obligated to provide them. We have a $1.2 million increase on what's called CSE, which is Committee on Special Education Maintenance. These are children that are identified by the for special education within the Ulster County School Districts that get residential services and are placed in residential facilities because of their special needs. So they receive residential and educational services. And again, this is an expenditure that we don't end up having any control over. And it's one that the school districts exercise responsibility for, identifying students that are in their school districts who require these kinds of special placements. We have a $1 million increase in child care, the maximum state aid rate, and you might see this as a abbreviation MSAR, maximum state aid rates, per diems for foster care, kinship, guardian, and adoption have increased by a cumulative 7% and are anticipated to continue to rise during 2025. So we're just anticipating an increase in that area. We have a $900,000 increase in our daycare programming. Daycare regulations have increased eligibility and payments to providers to include 80 billable absences. I think you've heard a lot about the expansion of daycare programming to try to attract more families to apply for daycare services with the expectation that that might end up happening, we increase that. We are increasing our safety net by $610,000. Safety Net is the program that provides assistance to individuals in emergency housing, and the county bears a responsibility of 71% of the cost for any individuals that fall into the Safety Net category. Again, it's around emergency housing costs that we're incurring. A lot of our Safety Net clients get placed in hotels and motels throughout the county and also get placed at the Darmfest shelter. But, just in connection with what we have been tracking over the last few years and anticipate to be similar, we put in for $610,000. I think that one of the things you wanted to hear about was capital outlays that departments are contemplating. We did request $305,000. Specifically, our temporary assistance unit at the DSS offices
which we've been at, I think, since 1996, has not been redesigned or upgraded since we moved in. The cubicle walls and many furniture items are original to the unit and are really beyond repair. And I would invite anybody to come over to actually examine the condition.
You want us to sit in the chair and then watch it tip over?
So you know, I will leave that up to you. Decide, you know, what your examination would consist of. But some of the, furniture and the cubicle materials are kind of falling apart, and they have been repaired numerous times over the years. We're hoping, obviously, we want to promote a safe and functional working environment for all of our staff. And it's a large open room that's basically set up with all cubicles. So it has gotten a lot of wear and tear over the last 29 years and can really use some improvements. So that's kind of all of the items that we wanted to highlight for you in terms of areas where we were contemplating increases that were significant to deviate from our prior year budget.
Great. Thank you. Any questions from the committee? Yep.
The safety net program, does that include assistance to those that are in arrears?
No. No, it wouldn't be a program that we are able to administer, any kind of monetary support to an individual that's the subject of an eviction and has incurred expenses for arrears. When we have a case that opens for someone that's on safety net, they have arrived at a point where they're already homeless. So that's not something that involves those kinds of expenditures or benefits.
Yep. Let's go with Chair Griswold and then Legislator Collins.
When you spoke about the additional expenses for staffing for emergency services personnel, basically, or emergency housing personnel, you said that was requested. Did that make its way into the recommended budget, the county's? I have a lot. We have line items here that say department request, and then a line that says executive recommended. And I was just trying to find, was your request actually approved by the?
Was that on personnel?
It was what you first talked about. You talked about the increase.
We did arrive at agreement about.
Okay.
The personnel request that we made.
Okay.
What was requested was not all approved, but. That's where there's back and forth conversation.
Okay.
And there were some other adjustments that got made in terms of what we already had in our 2024 personnel listing.
Mm-hmm.
So it certainly reached a place where the outcome.
Great. That's all I need to hear, because as you were presenting it, I was hearing it as your request, but I wasn't hearing it as what the final outcome was with this budget. So thank
but
you.
No, we were very satisfied with what we arrived at in terms of our personnel request, which there are challenges associated with that because, and I don't want to be anything but candid and honest with all of you, like many of the departments in the county, we're still recovering from the 2021 budget. And I use the word recovering in a positive way. In 2021, for those of you who were here then, that the county offered an incentive and positions across the entire workforce were eliminated. And at DSS, we started 2020, which was the first year of the COVID pandemic, with about 330 staff. At the end of that year, we began 2021 with 209. So we basically have 40 positions eliminated as a result of the incentive and concerns around what the impact of the COVID pandemic would be moving forward. We essentially have been continuing to try to restore those eliminated positions since then. Based on the numbers that we have been tracking, I think going into 2024, we would be back up to, I think, 323 positions, or is it a little bit lower than that? A little bit, but we're closing in on getting back to where we were, you know, and I think it's important for all of you as the legislative decision makers to know that we've been extremely conservative in terms of our request to restore personnel. But I bring it up because I think it's important that it be accurately characterized that we don't experience it as adding new positions. We're still trying to get back to where we were, and all of our caseloads across the spectrum of the services we, you know, provide have returned to pre-COVID levels or actually gotten higher. But how we do our work changed as well. So there's been some technological improvements, and there's been some mechanisms implemented that have helped us to do some things more efficiently. But, you know, we definitely try to be extremely thoughtful about our requests when it comes to personnel. And like the entire workforce, we are experiencing significant ongoing turnover. And that turnover is something that we frequently talk about with the executive's office so that we can be making adjustments to ensure, you know, that we have capable staff. I'll give you just a very quick example of a discussion we had about a day or so ago. We wanted to reclassify some positions in our Children and Family Services unit, particularly our Child Protective Services, where we have 25 CPS caseworkers. So these are the caseworkers that receive reports from the State Central Registry, go out into the community and conduct investigations into allegations of child abuse and neglect. We operate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it is a mandated responsibility. So we have 25 caseworkers. 15 of those caseworkers have 18 months or less experience. That's how much turnover we've experienced. And the request we had was to reclassify one of our positions to a senior caseworker so that we could provide more supervision and monitoring of this new group of caseworkers. You know, they're all going through required training, they're all being shadowed, but think about it in your own employment industries and environments. You know, if 15 of your 25 staff had a year and a half experience, that's a lot of people who are still kind of learning the work. You know, so it's an ongoing challenge, but I think it's something that we're all experiencing and we're all seeing. So, but the short answer to your question is yes.
Got it. Thank you.
We are satisfied with what was arrived at for personnel.
Thank you.
Legislator Collins.
So looking at the family systems budget, you highlighted that in your discussion about a $3 million increase. First of all, I understand that increase. I understand why that increase is there. I support that increase as a necessity. But I want to highlight where we've come from and where we are now. In 2021, the budget was about $7 million. In 2022, it was $9.5 million, about the same in 2023 and 2024. This is something that we've been talking about a lot. We do need supportive housing. We do need to get people out of this particular budget line and into supportive housing. Because this is expensive. And when we talk about the need for supportive housing, this is why we need it, to take this budget line down to something more reasonable. So I just want to highlight that for the legislators here to say, this is a lot of money to put people in hotels every night. And that's not serving them particularly well either. So if we can work on getting this budget down to something reasonable, getting them out of hotels into supportive housing, it'll save us money. And I want to make sure that we as a legislature understand that will happen if we do more supportive housing. Thank you.
I have a couple of questions. Does anyone else have any questions before I go? First of all, thank you for explaining about the office furniture. I think we had flagged that, but now we understand that. We thought that it was like computer-related things, but that is helpful. I do have a question about a line here for
professional services legal that is it was not the amount that was requested. It's also not an amount that has been budgeted in the past. It's not a line that has been budgeted. There's a small allocation in 23. Can you speak to that? It's $260,000 for professional services legal.
Which division are you in?
This is temporary systems.
Thank you.
Sorry, I should have mentioned that.
It's okay.
Sure,
patient.
I'm sure you can call familiar with that.
It's the legal services for the Hudson Valley contract.
Oh.
I know you're very familiar with that. And it basically is living in TA. That's what.
Okay.
That's where it was selected to go because the focus chair is to potentially have that assist families as emergency or as a homeless intervention.
Sure.
So it wasn't really going to involve our legal unit per se, but it obviously involved legal services for the Hudson Valley and the work they're doing. So it's a living repair.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. That perhaps is a good segue. Can you speak to the homelessness and housing unit that we stood up at the beginning of last year?
Yeah, I can say a few things about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a wonderful initiative that was arrived at for calendar year 2024. We were excited to see it proposed in 2023, extremely responsive to so much of the programming that we have been implementing, you know, across the spectrum to support our current emergency housing population in their placements. And I know that this committee has had a lot of discussions about some of those programs. They include contracts with RUFCO to do outreach and develop relationship and engagement, you know, with our emergency housing population to help them transition into potentially trying to find in a very sparse landscape permanent housing. It involves a contract with Community Action, you know, who delivers hygiene and food items to all of our clients. And the thought was that, you know, we needed to be doing more to help sustain our emergency housing clients, help to restore hope for them that ultimately they will be able to transition and relocate into permanent housing. Some of the challenges that we faced and arrived at, and we started working on it early on in January, were arriving at job descriptions that fit into the civil service requirements. And once we arrived at being able to get all of that squared away, we actually began to advertise for the positions. And, you know, we had difficulty getting applications from candidates who ended up being eligible, who met the quals of the job descriptions. So fast forward, that takes us to roughly about July of this year, where we had not been successful in filling the three positions. It was a director, a homelessness navigator, and a housing specialist.
Yes.
I think so those were the three positions. Somewhat simultaneously, New York State Office of Temporary and Disability Assistance announced an initiative at the end of July called the Family-Centered Services Plan, where they're essentially allocating funding to every district in New York State to develop services identical to the ones that we were contemplating providing with our housing unit. So where we've ultimately arrived at, Chair, is that with that program, and we have a plan that OTDA has approved, which we will be presenting in the near future to the Housing Committee, which is going to allow us to enter into contracts with a couple of service providers to provide these kinds of services to our emergency housing community. we arrived at discontinuing in our 25 budget two of the three positions, the resource navigator and the housing specialist, but we are retaining the housing director, who we expect will have responsibility for overseeing this family-centered services plan, which will be doing what we identically had hoped those other two positions. And we hope to, we've identified some candidates, and we hope to have the position filled by the end of the year, which will be exactly when we're also hoping to implement the contracts with the two service providers to provide this family-centered services plan. So it didn't unfold the way that we had contemplated, but I think like many of the things that are proposed and then worked on, they change when you finally arrive at an outcome where something else got introduced into the equation. So we're really excited about it, and we think it's going to be extremely impactful. And the families that we hope will benefit from these new services, are in real need of this support.
Deputy Executive Contreras, do you want
to? Yeah, I just wanted to add the interesting piece of this, which is that this is one of two very recent examples where we seem to be slightly ahead of the state, because obviously everybody in the state is going through the same challenges as we are. So we created this unit as a county-funded thing, and then 6 months later, the state tells us, and we really didn't have that much notice that they were going to give us funding for. We were pretty pleasantly surprised to see that it was pretty much the same thing that they wanted us to do. But there's a supplantation thing where we can't just take their money and use it to fund something that we were already doing. So that's the one example. And then this is just a quick preview of another example. We recently expanded that civil services of the Hudson Valley contract. That's something that you pushed for, Chair. And we found out recently that the state is giving us funding to do arrears.
Okay.
So, the same thing. So it's like we're doing things, and the state is trying to figure out the same problem as we are. And so, I think hopefully the combination of all these efforts will lead to some alleviation of the housing crisis, but it's just, the timing.
Anyone have any final questions as we come up on the first week?
They apologize.
That's fine.
Or the mix-up.
Yeah. Only 3 year latest did you not witness my obscene weakness.
Or my weakness.
We're in common. Before everyone leaves because of the committee meeting, I do need a motion to adjourn. I move by Collins, certify Corcoran. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
All right. Thank you.